Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday. As we get set to talk all things local sports-wise. But first, let's thank our financial benefactors, none bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. They're always open online at caclfcu.org. And don't forget their new location along the Port Carbon-St. Clair Highway with a ribbon-cutting ceremony this Friday, where they offer convenient drive-through services. Voted the number one lending institution the past 6 years. Why is that? Because you won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere.
Thank you to BG's Value Markets for convenient locations for your shopping experience. Check them out, Millersburg, Jonestown, Pine Grove, and Minersville. They've got aisles upon aisles of grocery shopping savings. And they, of course, got that meat for that hot iron of the summertime grill or griddle, Chaz. Oh, everybody's into these griddles. If their meat was any fresher,
you would have to slap it.
Thank you to Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy. Check them out at your favorite retail location. They've got the dairy line from whole milk to skim milk, the orange juice to start your Saturday morning off just right. And, of course, the delicious iced tea and fruit drink products, now featuring the delicious raspberry regular tea and the raspberry diet decaf. Chaz and I both slugging back the diet decaf raspberry here this morning. It won't keep us up, but it'll keep us hydrated. They're the official hydrator of WPPA Sports Saturday and in the air tonight. I never knew this was a mood music
for the next couple of minute conversation here. We're going to be joined by Mike Farr with some interesting ventures for some kids here at 9:15. And we're going to talk to El Presidente of the Schuylkill League, Steve Toth, coming up around 9:30 this morning. But I just wanted to get some
I never knew this was music. like a stadium rock jam.
Absolutely, man. This is one of the most energizing songs out there.
But I never knew it. Like, it's so mellow. Like, it's not like one mellow of those bam, 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 bam.
No. This is the stuff that gets you in a zone right here.
Oh, puts me in the zone.
Yes.
Okay, so what kind of zone are you trying to get me involved in now? What's coming in the air tonight?
Well, let's talk about yesterday. Let's talk about yesterday.
PIAA
Board of Directors. Well, we'll go back to Thursday, where the governor, fleetingly at the end of a press conference, drops a bomb and walks off the stage. What? Somebody wants to talk to us this morning.
Yeah, drops a bomb. Yeah, dropped a bomb on me, baby. That was about 10:30 in the morning, right? He drops a bomb. I'm not sure. What you mean? Would you call that a planted question? Because it had
absolutely call that a planted question.
It had nothing to do with the reason he was on television. He was at what, a COVID-19 testing site.
Yeah, it was all about testing with him and Dr. Levine. And then just miraculously, right as they were scheduled to wind down the press conference, a reporter pipes in, or whoever the question taker is for the governor that day. Secretary Levine, would you address the spectators at sporting events, high school sporting events? Now, she was supposed to do it on Wednesday. It never came out. That was the announcement, that would be a Wednesday announcement from Dr. Levine on what the deal was with fans in attendance at games and how this was going to work. Nothing. So then at the end of this press conference, that question gets asked, and Rachel Levine immediately looks and says, Governor, I'd like to defer to you. And here comes Tom Wolf strutting over, and you can see this smirk. And he begins his diatribe on congregate settings and how we shouldn't be in congregate settings. And we have to beat the virus, we shouldn't be together. And he's going through this and then says at the end, we're recommending that sports don't occur until January 1st, 2021. And walks off the stage. No further questions.
It was like this. Ready? This is how it was.
Don't drop that mic. It doesn't work most of the time.
Mic drop.
Right. And I get it. Listen, This is the world's greatest peeing contest, so to speak. Wow. As our T102 Twitter put, it's the world's longest game of hot potato being played right now. No one, and I mean no one, wants the liability.
Just step up.
Somebody needs to step up and lead. You're telling me it was, what, 26-2 or something, the PIAA Board of Directors yesterday vote to delay it by 2 weeks because they want to get with the governor's office, Department of Health, and Department of Education, and find some common ground, hopefully, is what they're preparing to do. Now,
are you
here's
ready?
My issue.
Are you ready?
Wait a second.
Go ahead.
Before you get on your
rant. I'm not getting on the rant. I was just going to say, you know, didn't we see this happen in the center of the state?
So, Governor Wolf seems to be a little irritated with the PIAA saying that fans can't be in attendance because of the governor's order. So you have to find out from the governor if you're going to be able to be there. So now he's irritated with that.
Yep.
Because he feels like the PIAA shifted parents seeing their kids play sports onto him unjustly. Now, these plans for the return of sports have been in discussion with the governor for over 3 weeks. Okay?
Yep.
Well, up to 3 weeks. When the PIAA released their plan to safely return to sports in the fall, the governor was in the conversation up to a point 3 weeks ago. He was seemed to be okay with it at that point in time. Didn't have any more contact after they continued to release stuff. Nothing from the governor's office, the Department of Health, or PDE to the PIAA. So they figure, okay. And then Thursday, out of the blue, without even a discussion or a heads up, hey, Dr. Lombardi, this is what I'm going to say. This is where our guidance is at. We don't think anything should happen until the first January 1st, 2021, period. We just don't feel comfortable saying things should be going on. We don't want to really come out, like, you put it on me to piss off parents, so I don't want to do that. I don't want to get a million Pennsylvanians up in arms because I tell them that they can't see their kids because I'm keeping it to 250 people in an outdoor setting. Probably that behind-the-scenes conversation would have been an agreement by everyone to say, all right, Governor Wolf, if that's your wish. But he didn't want to do that. He wanted to put it back on, you know, no. And that's our stance. Okay? Now, as an elected school official, he's put on me with urgency to get 2,000 students and 200-plus staff members into a congregate setting every day. And now Chuck Schumer, a lot of people have issue with Chuck Schumer, comes out and say kids need to go back to school because the economy needs to be better. I thought, oh my goodness, somebody's being honest. Because nobody else has been. But you want me to put 2,000 kids, 2,500 people in a congregate setting every day, but I'm not smart enough to decide how we're going to do with 250 on a Friday night or even less than 100 every other night of the week. As far as outdoor sports are concerned. Indoor sports, forget it. Fans ain't getting in, period. 25 is the cap, 25 is the cap.
I don't That's even know how it. You do 25.
That's already been figured out, and we'll talk to Steve Toth because it was pretty interesting. The hard work of so many people to try and figure this out, then in one sentence, a fleeting comment without question is dropped on them after they put all of their efforts. They could have been figuring other things out the entire time than worrying about this if there was a leader anywhere.
Don't forget, tune in to Step Up to the Mic Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon here on WPPA.
This is regarding the return to sports.
I know.
But what I'm saying is, if you're going to pull the plug, you're going to pull the plug. But if everything else is a local decision, then leave it on the local decision makers. At this point, I can't tell you, am I willing to take the fall to say, it's 250 people. I'm sorry, folks, you can't see your kids, but your kids are going to have an opportunity to return to some normalcy. Sorry, that's just the way it goes. You're not going to be able to go in right now. Don't put a cherry picker in my parking lot, but you're not going to be able to go in. I mean, if I have to be
it's
the bad
their parking
guy,
lot, they're the taxpayer, don't
but
forget
that's,
it.
That, you're wrong on that.
I know, I'm joking.
You can't just wander into a school and start walking around. It's not public property.
I'm only joking. I'm
but,
just...
You know, this is the part that irritates me. If you want me to make decisions on everything else, then leave this to the nine of us in our each respective school district to debate, to put out our thoughts and feelings, to try and figure out a way. It's that easy. Like, don't pee on my neck and tell me it's raining.
Well, how about on your shoe?
That either. But you know what I mean? That's the part that gets me, is that they wouldn't leave it to debate and to figure out. If Wally Hall comes to me tomorrow or today, he could call me right now and say, Chaz, I'm not comfortable playing football. Okay, Wally, if you're not comfortable, then I'm not going to force you into it. We won't do it. Now, that may not be popular with everybody. But if the coach comes to me and says, I don't feel comfortable, I don't think this is a good idea. Okay. Haven't had that conversation yet. Do you know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Like,
I hear you.
It
somebody needs to step up somewhere.
It's frustrating somehow. Because the leadership part is missing. And I've seen the plans for the fall sports moving to springtime and 2 month setups. And there's some overlap there where kids are going to have to decide that they get out of their one season a little earlier to start the next. And we're all going to have to live with those decisions because it's up to the kids and their families.
Well, what happens, this is what I don't understand, is we're talking fall sports, okay? But my question is, El Presidente, and the fine folks of the Schuylkill League worked very hard at coming up with plans for, like, volleyball and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like that. That's an indoor sport now.
I sat and listened to the Schuylkill League meeting, and all of the hard work and number crunching on fitting people in spaces in order to make this happen. And the conversations that went with it. Our athletic directors, our superintendents, our administrators, our school boards are working diligently on all facets of education. And that includes the extracurricular stuff. Have worked hard since March to figure this out, because in March it was new, and I know you had the argument with me, or the questioning, not an argument, we don't really argue, but you said, well, why wasn't this uproar in spring sports? Because nobody knew anything at that time.
Yeah.
The best bet was just shut it all down because, you know, the end is here. Like, that was the edict. The end is here.
Let me ask you this. How much more do we know now than we did back in March?
There are so much mixed messages.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I had an opportunity.
Who do you listen to? Who don't you listen to?
I had an opportunity to catch the governor of Iowa. Somebody posted her spiel when a reporter tried to really push the envelope with her about opening schools and having sports. Iowa successfully had their baseball season occur throughout the summer. 94%. Or was it 96%? One or the other successfully completed the season team-wise without an issue due to COVID-19.
Okay.
Okay? And she said, I am here to lead. I have made mistakes. The messages are mixed, but we can't keep fear-mongering people. We need to report facts, period.
Yeah. Okay?
Which I agree with. And she took a very hard-line stance. You know, kind of apologized, felt like maybe people could have thought she was filibustering, whatever. But it was a breath of fresh air to see somebody finally say, we are making the best decisions we can. We are doing this to err on the side of safety. We all have something at stake here.
Yeah.
Be it personal. I mean, she talked about her grandkids or school children. Her daughter is a teacher, and she's pregnant and has been teaching all summer at the advice of her medical professional, who said, go ahead, here's what you must do to maintain safety.
Well, I like to term it this way, Chaz. It's a brand new bridge. They just opened it. We've cut the ribbon, and we're all crossing it together. We've never been on the other side.
I mean, I wrote, I provided Dr. Lombardi a letter to please give to Governor Wolf.
Well, I don't know.
And I don't know if that had any credence when the final version of his statement was clarified through a press release that he walked it back to. It's strongly recommended, not a mandate, but then it's up to the local decision makers. Because that's what I said. You've entrusted us to do this. And now with this, you do this.
I always thought and I said this back earlier in the summer, and I've always thought that when we went and made up 500 different plans,
it was a mistake.
It was a mistake that we should have just made one plan.
It was a mistake. Exactly.
And, yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, I mean, some shortcomings or some shortfallings, you know, and some of those plans may have, you know, I mean, been, you know, noticed or whatever. We should have one plan.
And most, I can't say all, most school districts, the PIAA included in this, had medical professionals. Either their input during, plus review of, the plans to return. That happened in a lot of cases.
We got to roll.
So I just want you to be aware of that. That they are endorsed by local medical providers. Now, some aren't as robust as others. I could tell you Wednesday night, I'm going to approve a 56-page plan. And this past Monday, I approved a 26-page plan.
Whoa, so it goes up from 30 pages?
So it's they're all over, yeah. Depending on who wrote them and how much detail they prescribe in them.
Wow.
But the ones that I've seen were all blessed by local medical professionals.
And they're the ones that have the pulse of what's going on with the pandemic in the local community. So, you know what I mean? Like, if they're seeing this or they're seeing that or whatever, or yeah, I mean, it's being reported by their colleagues. Yeah, I mean, they're the ones that should be listened to. I agree. I agree with that.
Yes, sir. And, so, you know, this isn't trivial business that people are making these decisions out of emotion. Now, maybe some of the fallout to, you know, you may not be able to go in to see these games because there's a cap on limits of people around, the response to that may be emotional, but that is what it is,
yeah,
so to speak. And if you want your children to have any semblance of this, at some point you got to say, all right. I also set a plan on how to make this safer. And how to, you know, make all parties look great. We'll see if it's followed up upon.
I'm going to tell you a little, you know, I mean, just my feelings or my thoughts of how I see this shaking out.
The world according to the Dr. Ed Benishman.
No, I just think what happened in central Pennsylvania this past week is going to happen in 2 weeks to high school sports.
What happened in central Pennsylvania this past 2 weeks?
The last few days.
What's that?
Okay. A world-class research university submitted the plan to the governor's office for their, you know, idea to have 1/3, 25%, whatever you want to say, attendance.
And it was shot down?
And it was shot down. I just think the handwriting is on the wall. And they're just delaying the inevitable right now. And, I mean, they're going to try to, and I don't think there's going to be an outcome that we're all happy with.
No, you're not getting into Beaver Stadium.
I just think there's going to be an outcome with high school sports that we're not all going to be happy about.
We'll see.
And then we'll remember it. And
well, anyway, let's get on to our first guest of the day. Mike Farr going to join us here shortly. As we return on Sports Saturday on AM 1360, 106 FM, and WPPARadio.com.
Miss the show? Don't worry. We are a podcast. You can check us out on Spotify, also Google, Apple Podcasts, and also on our host site, Anchor.fm. It's WPPA Sports Saturday.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Summer is here, and the folks at Gears Dairy are proud to introduce the newest member of their iced tea family, Raspberry Tea, Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy along Tumblin' Run Road. Gears Dairy Raspberry Iced Tea and Diet Decaf Raspberry are the perfect blends, not too sweet, not too mellow, perfectly refreshing. Summer's for sipping on the porch or a day trip to the beach with the full line of Gears Iced Teas, including their newest flavor raspberry in half gallons and plastic pints. Sip on, Schuylkill County.
Welcome back, WPPA Sports Saturday. Phillies baseball on WPPA begins at 5:30 with the Lehigh Valley Hospital Schuylkill Phillies pregame show. And then at 6:05, it is the Phils and the Braves today as Phillies baseball is home here on WPPA. And Mike Farr, has he been holding the line since last Saturday morning?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I thought he was still there. Mike Farr joining us, the El Presidente.
Yeah, a couple of presidents together today.
Yeah, we had a presidential show. But the El Presidente of the Schuylkill County Football Coaches Association going to speak to us about some exciting opportunities upcoming in this fall season.
Thanks, guys. Wow. You guys had me fired up.
I didn't. He
that's
did.
That's awesome. I mean, I was starting to wonder if you two guys had a pulse, but woo!
You know, Mike, listen, it's called leadership, and we need it, and we need it fast, period. That's the way I feel.
Let's talk about some leadership. So the Schuylkill County Football Coaches Association, we're going to talk about leadership because, we want to be the leaders in the area. And, I talked to a bunch of the coaches in the area, and, we're continuously getting phone calls from our youth organizations, What everyone doesn't realize is they're in limbo, just like we are from the PIAA and the governor. So, but they're in limbo for a bunch of different reasons. You still have your AAU, your club soccer going. Mm-hmm. You still have your youth baseball, softball going. Football always seems to be left out because of the type of sport it is. We made a decision that we are going to go out and hold, and again, we're still in developmental phase, but we're going to go out and we're going to hold 8 youth camps throughout Schuylkill County as fast as we can get them moving. We want to have one. We're going to have one here in the Schuylkill Haven area, one out in the Higgins Valley area, one up in the Ashland-Frackville area, and I'm still working on a venue in that northeast corridor of Schuylkill County. Costs will be relatively low. We have, we're out looking for sponsorships right now. And, for us, it's, you're right, we're tired of sitting back and waiting. So we need to take some action because we believe, especially at the youth levels, if this is the only football these kids get this fall, we believe it'll be well worth it.
Well, taking a look at the future, Mike, and not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow with your own program, I tip the cap to you guys trying to figure this out. The interesting part is, with some of that strong recommendation, are we even going to be allowed to do these things? The part that catches.
Again, again, from our standpoint, recommendations are recommendations. The recommendations so far have not stopped any of the AAU programs. Mm-hmm. Have not stopped any of the other youth programs. Mm-hmm. So,
It's interesting.
As Schuylkill County football coaches, we're taking that same approach. As long as we're going to follow all the guidelines, We're going to follow all the protocols. We will find venues that are not on school properties, and we will come up with some sort of football activity for the youth of our county.
You know, it's interesting, Mike, and part of me and some people may take umbrage with what I'm going to say. I thought it was very hypocritical earlier this week when the East Penn Conference, all the big schools in District 11 in the Lehigh Valley, decided to push the start date of their football season back. However, for the past 2 weeks, continuing through today and into next week, are running a 32-team baseball tournament for their high school kids.
How about that?
So I found that a little hypocritical, a little upsetting.
How about that? So, yeah, so we basically come to an epiphany that, you know, as a football leader, and I consider myself a leader, we are no longer going to sit back. And we're going to do things that benefit our kids. Again, parents have a choice whether they want those children to participate or not participate. That's up to them. But from a leadership standpoint, we're going to offer those services to have our kids have the opportunity to work those football skills, just like other children have the opportunity to work their soccer, baseball, and softball skills, and basketball skills, quite honestly, right, throughout the whole summer. I mean, I know of several tournaments that have been run in hot zones.
Yeah.
And what they'll tell you is no issues. So there's no reason why we can't follow the socially distancing guidelines, just like we are in our summer voluntary workouts. We're all well adept to what we need to do. So we're going to take that down to the next level and offer something that our youth in this county can salvage out of something that looks desperate at this point.
You know, when you take a look, you know, you're talking about some competitions in some hot zones. There were over a couple hundred teams at an AAU basketball tournament in Philly. Part of it had to be moved to Delaware for accommodation's sake. So, I mean, you know, you're right.
I'm fully aware.
And for the governor to step in and say, this is not for college or professional sports, it's only for high school sports. And listen, you said it. Football is a different animal. We all get it. The doctor and I had that conversation coming into the show today. Football is a different animal. But there's no reason why your kids can't go play golf or run cross country.
Exactly. Totally agree.
You know,
I totally agree. It all comes down to what you said in the first 15 minutes. It comes down to leadership. Everybody we're talking about had all the information they needed. Now, did we know where we were going to be sitting come August? No. But we knew. We did the preparation in May. We did all the prep. We submitted all the plans. I mean, everybody knew what the three season after January would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And we all knew what everything else would look like. We had all the plans. We had everything squared away. We had everything done. And for whatever reason, we chose not to take it serious enough. And now in the 25th hour, everyone's, you know, in panic. And now we have a little strong-arming going on. And who's suffering?
Kids
in Pennsylvania are the ones suffering.
Well, Mike, in the early summertime, I said when they came out and said that every school district had to submit a plan. 500 and some school districts across this Commonwealth had to submit a plan. Everybody would have a different plan. Why didn't the state, instead of kicking the can down the road to the school districts, say, hey, listen, if you're going to open up sports, you're going to do it by our book. This is our book. You don't have to worry about it. Everybody wasted all that time, money, resources, and now what's the end product? We've got nothing in the end. Everybody wasted all that money. That's taxpayers' money. Why didn't the state step up and say, hey, you know what? You're going to follow our way. You're going to do it our way, and we're going to let you do it. If you don't follow our way, you shut down. You know
that. Well, my opinion is at that point in time, it wasn't important enough.
It's not important. I mean, they're always worried about the next time they're going to get elected. You know, I mean, Governor Wolf obviously not worried about his next time, but
yeah, you know. Governor Wolf knows he's not going to be reelected, so at this point, he doesn't care. He's just going to do the things that he's going to do, and again, I'm about the player safety, so. As long as we feel that we can keep players safe, safe based on the information we know today. And you're right. Everybody has done a lot of good work putting in together these plans and moving forward. And it's not perfect by any stretch. Trust me, I know, because we've had some issues over the summer, and so have some other programs around the area. But listen, we can get through it. We can salvage it. We can make it work. So, again, from the Schuylkill County Coaches Association standpoint, we're going to do whatever we got to do to help salvage some remnants of football for the youth organizations in our area.
Well, our hat's off to you, Mike, because we know that you are one thing, if not anything else, you are for kids, and it's all kids. You don't have a shine to one group or the other. You just want to make sure kids are taken care of, and we appreciate that.
All right, guys. Well, hey, thanks for giving me my 10 minutes of glory, and we'll be talking. Hey, here's the other proposal I have. So, we're looking for sponsorships. I think it would be a great idea to host this show at our first youth camp.
You never know. The possibilities, my friend, are endless, Darren. I will call you when the show is done, and we can talk more about that. How's that sound?
That's awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Yep. See ya.
There you have it. Mike Farr and the Schuylkill County Coaches Association stepping up, Doc, saying we'll figure something out.
Yeah, I know Tri-County Midget League or whatever it is, Tri-County Football League, they've already canceled the season. Mm-hmm. That's what the local...
You were only happy about that because you got your parking back. But anyway, we got El Presidente Steve Toth coming up on the line here right around the corner on AM 1360, 106 FM, WPPARadio.com.
Podcast at anchor.fm, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts. It's WPPA Sports Saturday.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway, with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville, and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Don't forget Sports Saturday, Chaz, today. Later today, Phillies baseball begins at 5:30 with the Lehigh Valley Hospital Schuylkill Phillies pregame show. And 6:05 first pitch is the Phillies taking on the Atlanta Braves. And joining us on the program this morning, one guy who knows something about baseball.
Yeah, he learned a lot from me.
Oh, did he? Yeah, we all know that.
See? He admits it.
All right. Dr. Steve Toth, the president of the Schuylkill League, joining us this morning, and we're going to talk all things Schuylkill League here this morning with the El Presidente.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Good to be on with you. Always a pleasure. I love when I'm on with you guys. It's a good time.
Well, Doc, we had a little bit of a vote on earlier this week, and out of the members of the Schuylkill League, I believe it was unanimous, pretty much.
16-4.
Oh, is that what it was? 16-4?
14-4.
Jeepers. For Return to Fall Sports.
Yeah, I've been listening to you guys on the show this morning, and, I want to echo what Chaz said about the hard work that a lot of people put into this decision. You're talking about cooperation with many different levels of people, from our medical professionals to our administrators to our school board people, athletic directors, coaches, players, and most importantly, our student athletes, you know, the amount of preparation that went into that 56-page document, and then we also had to get another document prepared for our school boards that should be coming up or just been voted on. You know, the amount of work that went into this is just astronomical, and my hat's off to all of those people that put the time and effort in, probably over the weekend, probably neglected some of their families in order to make this work. So kudos to them on those things.
You know, Steve, I know the big conversation is revolved around football. But when I sat and listened to AD's crunched numbers on how to make volleyball happen this fall with a 25-person cap in indoor spaces, I was blown away how much painstakingly to look over that entire court and venue of what it takes to get that done and how you guys were prepared to do it. Explain the number and how it came out to right around 25.
Well, obviously you go with recommendations by the state, and the state came out with guidelines. The medical professionals came out with guidelines. And I think it kind of goes back to a little bit of something that General Patton used to say, you know, never tell people how to do things, tell them what they need to do, and they will surprise you with their ingenuity. And I'll tell you what, our ADs went in there, they spoke as a group on Monday, they came up with a plan and the guidelines for each sport, not just football, each sport. Like you said, football's tricky. You know, football is, you know, you're banging heads for 3-4 seconds at a time, then you're going back and then doing it again. You know, that's the one sport, really, that, you know, is at issue. You know, soccer has some close next when they're on the ball and everything like that, but you know, some of the other sports, I think, you know, are less intrusive with the guidelines. But really happy with our ADs and with the work that they've done.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, what, it's 8 players per team. It's usually a double night between varsity and JV. Those teams are to be separated. One coach allowed on the bench. So now you're at 18 people there.
Yep.
Two people at a table to score it and announce and whatever else they need to do there is 20. You have two officials at 22, and you have two lines people at 24. Boom, you're done.
Done. And then on top of that, Chaz, to provide some experience for our younger players, like they came up with ways in order to quarantine or place these JV players in a quote-unquote holding tank so that they could play and be offered the same opportunities as their varsity players. Whether it's in the same gym area or, like, you know, a JV game than varsity, or, you know, trying to split facilities and be able to play varsity at your main gym and JV at your ancillary gym, something like that. Like, honestly, the work that these ADs have put in and the administrators on our league front has been absolutely tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
Steve, my question's going to be, I mean, we know the rules and regulations, and we've talked a lot about football here on the program, but, I mean, do they still extend the same to, like, volleyball? So, like, let's say I would have a young lady come up COVID positive. Does that still have to be shut down for 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, regardless of the sport, we still have to maintain the guidelines. You know, listening to your program, I agree with Coach Farr. Like, our main mission is to keep our student athletes safe. Do we know that there may be some risks? There's risks associated with life in many different venues. You know, you could walk down the street and possibly get struck by a car. You know, you could get struck by lightning. You know, there's risks that are involved with life. I think after being part of this pandemic, so to speak, since March 13th of this year, you know, some of our ways of thinking, I think, have changed or morphed. Like, we know, I think, now that we're, I think, have to live with this a little bit more than be constrained from it, and do it in a smart and effective way. And we think that we could do that.
Was there at any time talk? I mean, we've seen some leagues around our area, you know, shifting some start dates and staggering some stuff. Was that ever a consideration for the Schuylkill League?
Yeah, I mean, so there's two thoughts about this, you know, and you know, Chaz kind of hit on this. The experts who we look to are so back and forth on this, you just really don't know what to think. You know, there's the argument that we want to get kids and student athletes back into buildings and see how it goes, maybe delay the start and not have to worry about somebody playing somebody bringing COVID back to their district. The other thought is, let's go out and see, you know, what we could do and get as many, many opportunities to play in as we can and, you know, hope for the best. I'm not saying that one way is better than the other. I'm just saying that our league as a whole voted to move forward with our fall schedules as planned.
My question through this whole thing, in being parts of these conversations, was delay for what? Like, what are we delaying for? And everybody goes, I don't know. We're just going to they just want to delay. I don't know. They want to wait and see. And I'm like, well, delay for what? I mean, you're putting the 1,000 kids in. I get it. You want to wait and see what happens there before you decide on what to do with extracurricular activities? I mean, I have a pretty solid plan to protect the communities. If we go ahead with sports, it's going to take a partnership and a big investment by somebody to agree to. But there's a way to protect an entire community by testing those that are traveling to other communities to participate in sports. And it would also help that Central Pennsylvania Research Facility in becoming the leader in COVID-19 research, follow-up, testing, everything, because it would be an entire state that would be giving them numbers every single week. It's foolproof.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot of things that I think that we could and should be doing. Much like you said, much like Coach Farr has said, it comes down to leadership. And, we've been told and cast, hey, we have to come up with individual plans at the local level. They've always seemed to kind of cast it on our local levels. And we've come up with the decision. And then it doesn't appear as though some other leaders like the decisions that some of our schools have made. So, you know, when I was sitting there in my office writing an email to a lawyer, I get a text message from Mike Romiak, our AD, and said, did you just see this conference? And then sent me the link to it, and I kind of just sunk back in my chair like, I just can't believe that this has happened. And the reason why I can't believe that it happened with the way that the comment went is the question that I have for everybody, and I've asked it to a lot of people. I've asked it to a lot of people on the District 11 committee. I've asked it to other administrators. What has changed since July 1? What has changed since July 1? We prepped. We came up with all of these plans. We wanted to mitigate as best we can. We put money, resources, time, effort into all of these things. We haven't really had that many flare-ups. We've seen teenager league championships go on without any issue inside of our community. We've seen AAU. We've seen travel softball, travel baseball. Lehigh Valley is having a tournament for baseball. They had a tournament for softball, you know, back in a couple weeks ago. We haven't seen the flare-up. So what has changed since July 1 of 2020 that led the governor to make the statement he did a couple days ago? That's a question that I want answered.
Well, I mean, the ultimate slap in the face, I said this earlier, Coach Farr, is, I mean, you along with everybody in District 11, the administrators, the school board members, the local physicians, the coaching staffs, everybody sat down, came up with a plan, 500 and some individual plans. Why, if the governor wanted to be so involved and the Department of Health wanted to be so involved, why didn't they step up? Why'd they kick it down to you guys to make up 500 and some individual plans? They should have just made one damn plan for the whole state and said, here it is.
Yeah, so listen, man, we're on the same wavelength here. We had a District 11 meeting not that long ago. And you know, through the whole thing, everybody's asking questions. And the one question that I had for Mr. Hartman is how much conversation has there been with PIAA and with the Department of Health and the governor's office? And in my opinion, from his answer, is that it wasn't every day, but there was communication. I, in my opinion, hearing that from Mr. Hartman, do not believe that there was an appropriate amount of conversation from the Department of Health and the governor's office with PIAA. But I also don't believe that this was on the PIAA's fault. I think Doc Lombardi and those people down there at PIAA are good people. They have the best interest in our student athletes and for the whole student in their minds. And I don't think that they had the state and the governor's office had as much conversation as there needed to be with this whole thing. I just really don't.
You know, I agree with you, Steve. And I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and I'm not quite sure who it was. And I said to them, I said, you know, the people that are running the PIAA are educators. Dr. Lombardi was a superintendent at Western Wayne. He's been on the other side of this as far as academics and the importance of kids getting a solid education. Sports is always a second to him. And so that's the whole staff have been involved in education in some way or another. And they get it. You know, this isn't about just a return to sports and 500 separate plans. This is 500 separate decisions on how school districts are going to book kids back in school because they're being pushed by legislators and the governor to get them back in there. Like, this is such a broad stroke.
Yeah.
That somebody has to stand up with some common sense and say, listen, this is what we want. This is why we want it. You need to make it happen. Period.
Right. You know, absolutely correct. You said it perfectly. You said it perfectly. You know, the next step is, you know, we could write as many letters. We need our legislative people in our area and across the state. We need people, you know, standing up and trying to promote this cause. Because, listen, the other thing, and Chaz, me and you had a really good conversation about this the other day when we spoke. Like, this is more than just about COVID, okay? This is about social and emotional components of adolescence, you know? And I talk about that an awful lot when we're in school and in administrative meetings, outside of administrative meetings. We started our leadership academy inside of the Schuylkill County, Schuylkill League, you know, because of that, trying to make our kids better, well-rounded people, know that they have to, you know, accept failure sometimes, not necessarily like it. They've just cut the legs out from underneath our student athletes with this possible decision. At the 11th and a half hour, when they're on the cusp of getting ready, they've been training all summer, and thinking like everything's good, and then a comment at a press conference, and then walk off the stage, that just doesn't sit well with a lot of people who put time and effort. That's very callous, in my opinion. You know, the social emotional component is so dire. You know, with student athletes this day and age, like, I don't think people are taking that into consideration.
You know, I belong to another community based organization, and those organizations like to get together in the summertime and have some fun and some pride in traditions. And you know, some of those traditions were supposed to happen, and the governor strong armed those organizations into changing their plans that they had with threats of removing funding. So, yeah, I mean, that's how serious this is. I mean, does he come back and say, hey, well, you know what? All of a sudden, we decide we're moving forward against his recommendations. And does he come back and say, well, you know what? Yeah, they're my recommendations. Well, I'm going to recommend you not get the loans or the state money that you were promised.
Yeah, you know.
Well, I'll answer this one, Steve. Because he's in a professional job with this. I don't get paid to do what I'm doing in this educational athletic landscape. I will tell you that that's almost laughable. I would dare the governor to hold money from kids. That's a simple argument. That would basically end his political career before his term is finished.
Hey, he doesn't care, though. He's not going to get reelected.
He cares about serving out the end of his term. He doesn't want to go out in shame. So I believe that would probably be the death knell on his tenure as governor. That would happen quite directly. But, you know, Steve, we're talking about the student-athletes and their social and emotional. You know, I thought there was a contradictory piece to the guidance that came out then following that where, are you ready? Bands and cheerleaders could be a part of the whole Friday night show, which I think is fantastic, because what about their social and emotional well-being when they're told the football kids can play, but you can't play your instrument. You can't do your cheers. You know, that's where the controversy starts with, oh, you're picking one over the other. That's not the case.
Yeah, it's ironic that you're talking about that, because On Thursday, in the midst of all of the craziness, Thursday morning, I was up at our high school trying to talk to our high school principal, Tom McCabe, and then went over to our band director, Mark Belts, and I said, I want to find a way to try to get, your activity and organization to do something, whether it's at 4:30 before the game, 5 o'clock before the game, in a parking lot to do your field show, because that to me is just as important as a Friday night football game or a Thursday night soccer game, volleyball game, or a Saturday afternoon golf outing, you know, up at Mountain Valley where we have a couple of schools participating. Like, it's the total student. It's every organization. We got to find a way to live with this and not run from it.
I agree. And, you know, your band alone at Tamaqua already breaks the 250 barrier, and it's a wonderful, wonderful band. Listen, I am so happy when we have Tamaqua on the schedule just for the opportunity to see those kids and listen to their sound, because they're incredible. Doc, you filmed it after the Pottsville game when they were playing Queen together.
Yeah, they all played Bohemian Rhapsody together, Pottsville and Tamaqua down in the one end zone. It's just a spectacular field show. I would say probably the best band in the Schuylkill League is Tamaqua.
Whoa, don't get the Pine Grove people upset, Joe.
Oh, they are good, too. They're just coming into the Schuylkill League.
I agree with you.
They're just coming into the Schuylkill League in football. So yeah, I said the best band right now in the Schuylkill League. I haven't seen the Pine Grove since they moved to the Schuylkill League. But I will say, I mean, one of the most impressive field shows in this area is the Tamaqua one. And it is always a pleasure to have them on the radio.
Absolutely. We take great pride in our musicians in our district. And, you know, if this thing goes off and if the recommendations still hold true, it's definitely going to be different not hearing the sounds of the Pride of Tamaqua, you know, on a Friday night.
You know, Steve, I do think, you know, at some point over these next 2 weeks, I think there needs to be a detailed look per sport and kind of get the other ones back on track. Because you can have golf. Tennis can occur. You know, I think volleyball be okay. The football, the junior high girls basketball, well, maybe we need to figure that out and ensure more or take a look deeper at it so we have some assurances that it can go. But some of these other fall sports, cross country, let the kids run. They can all go off with individual timers and then compare the times from there. It doesn't matter who finishes first.
Yeah.
It matters who's quickest. These are simple ideas, and I think that needs to be addressed pretty directly with further communication sooner rather than later for those sports.
Yeah, you know, I agree. The only thing that you know might be a little bit of a holdup is you know, during this two week hiatus, you know, we're going to be meeting again as a league on Wednesday, just with ADs and administrators, talking about some of the guidance, looking at our schedules to try to get a handle on what this 2 week delay will do to our schedules. Obviously, we have to communicate with our Colonial League brethren, and I know you guys had Mr. Zimmerman on last week. Great guy, passionate about the sport of football. You know, good to be part of his committee. You know, he's just a leader and an innovator, I think, from a district level and a state level. You know, and we have to work out these kinks and be as fluid as possible. But I agree with you. There are some sports that, you know, under these guidelines, like we could do these things. We could do these sports. We could have these competitions. We could do these competitions inside of our league schedule and not really have too much to worry about. Like, we really can't.
Right. I think you're just looking to get the white suit and the white Stetson, and you want to be little boss hog, I guess, with those comments about Zimmy. But, you know, Steve, I have to thank you, one, and this isn't just about being on this program today. I have to thank you for your leadership of the Schuylkill League. Your passion, your involvement, and your commitment to make the Schuylkill League better as a whole should not go unnoticed. And I know as a leader you kind of poo-poo it and put it on all the people that surround you and go into this. And yes, they are equally important. But I will tell you, young man, I am extremely proud of you from seeing where you've come from and what you're doing today. You are 100% for the kids and 100% the leader we need right now.
I really appreciate that, you know, Chaz. You know, it means a great deal. You know, I won't tell you the guy's name, but I was texting back and forth with a former coach who I coached with football at Minersville, and you know he was pumped about you know some of the things that I put out on social media on our Schuylkill League Twitter, and you know he's like you know I appreciate the fight. I said, listen, I said we're in a point. I said we'll respect the governor's decision. And we get that, we understand that, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to go down with the fight. We'll go down swinging. We'll put things out there. because the kids are the focus, Chaz. That's why. You know, they've worked too darn hard. Our coaches have put too much effort in. Our administrators have gone above and beyond to overcome obstacles and mitigate. And we'll just go down swinging and hope for the best. Hopefully we get some fall sports in this year.
Well, Steve, we appreciate you taking some time out of your day, and we appreciate all you have done. Well, here's hoping that we see you at the Schuylkill League Championships.
Yes, sir. Hey, Chaz, I'm going to get my hair cut today because you threw me off after being on there. I missed that motion on number three. He sent me a text message in the middle of it. I was laughing myself. So I think I gotta go visit the cat man up in Shenandoah and get this grape scraped a little bit.
Oh boy. Visit the cat man, get yourself a dozen Bellinis across the way, and travel on home with a pizza pie.
I tried to distract you, and I tried to distract another athletic director. You fell for it. He kind of didn't, but I don't think he understands technology. But yes, thank God, because that mop you're wearing, you kind of look like Pistol Pete.
Yeah, definitely got to get a trim, my friend.
All right, sir. Well, you enjoy your day and get your way moving on up to Shenandoah.
All right, guys, you have a good one. Listen, appreciate all your help and support with this. It's greatly appreciated. I know our student-athletes appreciate it as well.
Anytime, my man. You know I'm a phone call away.
You got it, brother.
All right. Take care. Thank you. There you have it, Doc. Steve Toth joining us this morning on the program, talking about the direction of the Schuylkill League and what's going to roll from here. We'll find out more. Come back, wrap up the show on AM 1360, 106 FM, and worldwide at WPPARadio.com.
If you miss the show, don't forget a podcast at Apple, Google, also at our host site, anchor.fm. It's WPPA Sports Saturday.
I love the radio. It's so random.
This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite.
Radio Olympic V.
Radio.
When I'm driving, I got a guy on the radio who talks to me.
Radio. It's on.
We're always on to entertain and inform you. Locally, WPPA, AM 1360, 106 FM.
Looking for a way to give back to your community? Learn new skills and make a real difference? Consider volunteering with your local fire department. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers, answering the call when their community needs them the most. Be part of a dedicated team of volunteers who step up and protect their community from all types of hazards. You can be the difference. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. We're a family of over 800,000 strong, and we come from all backgrounds, professions, ages, genders, races, and ethnicities. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Will you answer the call? Learn more and find a local volunteer opportunity at www.makemeafirefighter.org.
Well, Doc, interestingly enough, time flies when you're having fun, and that AD I just referenced is now texting me. He knew who he was, and he was looking good on the Zoom video screen, baby. That's for sure.
I don't know if anybody looks good on a Zoom video.
Oh, this guy looked svelte.
I don't know. I don't look svelte. That very good on a Zoom video. I'm not too pleased with Zoom videos. But sometimes I'm sitting waiting for my friend Jerry to come home, but we've got to get on out of here, Chaz, and we've got to thank our benefactors, and none bigger than
CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Also, the new location along the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with convenient drive-up services and a ribbon-cutting ceremony this coming Friday. And they're always open at CACL FCU.org. It's CACL Financial, the number one lending institution for the past 6 years. You won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere.
Thank you to BG's Value Markets for convenient locations for your shopping experience. You'll check them out in Jonestown, Millersburg, Minersville, and Pine Grove. If their meat was any fresher for the hot irons of your grill,
you would have to slap them.
Thank you, Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on the Tumbling Run Road. Their dairy line from whole milk to skim milk, the orange juice to get your Saturday morning off right, the delicious iced tea and fruit drink products featuring the raspberry iced tea line. Thank you, Mike Farth. Thank you, Dr. Steve Toth. You're listening to WPPA Pottsville, translator W290DP Pottsville.